Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 14th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks fall, oil slides, and Haven assets gain.
Weak trade data from China adds to concerns about global growth.
PG&E's CEO exits with the utility on the brink of bankruptcy.
And Theresa May makes a last-ditch effort to save her Brexit deal.
One Republican lawmaker has an idea to reopen the federal government. Plus, President Trump says he's not hiding face-to-face chat details with Vladimir Putin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NFL's Final Four is set after home wins by New England and New Orleans. The Knicks and Rangers lost, a win for the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures are following stocks in Asia and Europe lower this morning. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 23 points, Dow futures down 208, NASDAQ futures down 68. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%, CAC in Paris down 0.8%, FTSE 100 down 0.7%. No trading in Japan today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 2.66%, yield on the 2-year 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% on 84 cents to $50.75 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% at $4.80 to $12.94.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1461, and the yen, 108.13. And this data check brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, stocks in Asia begin the week on a sour note after trade data from China show the trade war with Washington starting to bite. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, Hong Kong and Chinese stocks were among the worst performers, while the Aussie and Kiwi dollars slumped as an unexpected fall in both Chinese exports and imports underlined the impact of the trade war and economic slowdown. Exports in dollar terms fell 4.4% from a year earlier, while imports dropped 7.6%. Both were the worst results since 2016 and left a trade surplus of $57.1 billion, while safe haven buying across the region saw the Japanese yen the best-performing currency across both Asian and G10 FX. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. That weak trade data puts pressure on China to strike a deal with the White House before additional tariffs hit the Chinese economy in March. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has more from Beijing.
There's a view from economists at Nomura that it's actually going to get much worse at the middle of 2019. But they are factoring in an increase in tariffs. Now, of course, we have these trade talks continuing. And of course, you've got China's vice premier going to Washington at the end of the month. If they get some resolution by March the 1st, then, of course, you're unlikely to get that increase in tariffs. But certainly, if you do think that the tariffs are going to increase, then it's going to get a lot more difficult for China.
So far, talks have shown little progress on the toughest areas of dispute, like China's treatment of intellectual property and support for state firms. And we do have this headline here, crossing the Bloomberg Newmont to buy Goldcorp in a deal that's valued at $10 billion. We'll bring you more details as they become available. Nathan.
All right, thanks, Karen. Well, in the UK, it is do or die time for Brexit, with Prime Minister Theresa May making a last-ditch effort to save her deal. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, in a speech today, May will warn Eurosceptic lawmakers that if they reject her Brexit deal in tomorrow's vote, it'll raise the chances of Britain staying in the EU and would be a disaster for British democracy. Meanwhile, opposition Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn gave his clearest indication yet that his party is ready to call a no-confidence ballot within days of Theresa May losing that vote, if indeed she does. And the Guardian newspaper reports that the EU is expecting a request from London to extend the March the 29th Brexit deadline in the coming weeks. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. In Greece, the political future of Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras is on the line after a breakdown in his government coalition. Bloomberg's Elena Crepa reports from Athens.
Tsipras' majority will be put to test on Wednesday in a confidence vote in parliament. Tsipras will need to secure enough support among Kamenos' MPs and independent lawmakers to extend his government's lifeline or be forced to call snap elections. In Athens, Eleni Hrepa, Bloomberg, Daybreak.
Elena, thank you. We're getting industrial output data out of Europe crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Euro area industrial output fell 1.7% in November. That's more than expected. It's the biggest drop in almost 3 years. That's adding to concerns about a broad-based slowdown.
Here in the U.S., pressure building on California's largest utility with shares of PG&E down more than 17% in early trading. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest blow to the power giant. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. As PG&E nears potential bankruptcy over the deadly California wildfires, the CEO, Geisha Williams, announced over the weekend she is leaving. She's been on the job less than a year. PG&E General Counsel John Simon will take the helm as they look for a successor. The company has seen two-thirds of its market value wiped out since November's Camp Fire. Its debt's been downgraded to junk. State regulators have called for a management shakeup. Sources say the utility is planning to notify employees as soon as today. It may make a Chapter 11 filing. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. This is a big week for bank earnings, starting with results today from Citigroup. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Given its global reach, Citigroup's macroeconomic outlook could offer some valuable insights. Bloomberg Intelligence says consumer revenue weakness in Asia may have carried through to the last quarter. U.S. profitability is a potential problem, but analysts say Citi's long-term cost guidance should stay intact. Forecasts are for Citigroup to post a profit of $1.55 a share on revenue topping $17.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And again, that headline that crossed the Bloomberg just moments ago, Newmont to buy Goldcorp in a deal valued at $10 billion. Futures this morning, meanwhile, moving lower. S&P futures are down 22 points. Dow futures down 200. NASDAQ futures down 66. The 10-year Treasury is up 10/32. The yield 2.66%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Congress returns to Washington on day 24 of the partial government shutdown. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports one Republican senator has a plan to reopen the government.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who's been a Trump ally.
I would urge him to open up the government for a short period of time, like 3 weeks, before he pulls the plug, see if we can get a deal.
Graham on Fox saying he totally understands why the president's unhappy, but the shutdown needs to end. Two polls over the weekend show most of those polled hold the president and Republicans responsible for the shutdown. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Fox News Sunday can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. President Trump warned Turkey not to attack Kurdish forces in Syria after a planned U.S. pullout, saying the NATO ally would be economically devastated if it did so. The president tweeted the U.S. was starting the long overdue pullout from Syria while hitting the little remaining Islamic State territorial caliphate. President Trump says he is not hiding face-to-face chat details with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The president was responding to a Washington Post report, which said he went to great lengths to hide details of his discussions with Putin. The president spoke on Justice with Judge Jeanine on Fox News.
I don't care. I mean, I had a conversation like every president does. I do it with all countries. We had a great conversation.
The Washington Post reported that the president took possession of his interpreter's notes after a 2017 meeting in Hamburg with Putin. Indonesia found the cockpit voice recorder from the Lion airplane that crashed in October. The ninth weekend of yellow vest protests in Paris was relatively peaceful with no major violence. Bloomberg's Gregory Viscusi in Paris reports on what France's president could do next.
So the timing may be right for the national debate that President Emmanuel Macron kicked off Sunday night with a letter to the French. For the next 3 months, the French will hold town hall meetings to discuss taxes and spending, energy transition, and how best to organize the state and democracy. Macron said no subjects are off limit, but he made clear he won't accept all demands. In particular, he said he won't reverse the tax cuts he enacted earlier in his presidency. In Paris, Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, a week after three wins by road teams in the NFL playoffs, four wins by home teams. The NFC games were closer, certainly in New Orleans, when Philadelphia jumped in front 14-0 5 minutes in, but the Eagles never scored again. And when Marshawn Lattimore had his second interception, a pass that skidded off the normally sure-handed Alshon Jeffrey, the Saints had a 20-14 win, and Drew Brees had survived the scare.
Obviously, we didn't start this game the way that we wanted to. You know, they jump out to a 14-point lead, but you know, listen, we were calm, we were poised, we knew we were going to get things going, but obviously had to do that quickly. We were able to narrow the gap 14-10 at halftime, and then I think the turning point was really that 23-play drive in the third quarter that lasted 11 and a half minutes and kind of took us from our own 8-yard line to get a touchdown.
So, Conference Championship Sunday begins with the NFC Rams at the Saints. L.A. went there in midseason, lost 45-35. The AFC title game, also a rematch of a high-scoring regular season game. Patriots in October beat the Chiefs 43-40. That was in Foxborough, where the Pats this year went 9-0. Sunday will be at Arrowhead, and the Pats were just 3-5 on the road. They had no trouble with the Chargers. Of 35-7 at halftime, they cruised to a 41-28 route. Sends them to their eighth consecutive AFC title game. The Knicks are off to London for a game on Thursday. Yesterday, matinee at the Garden came from 24 down, nearly stunned Philadelphia. The Sixers hung on 108-105. Rookie Kevin Knox led the Knicks with 31. Rangers lost at Columbus 7-5. Impressive win for the Islanders, 5-1 over league-leading Tampa Bay. The hard-serving American John Isner already out at the Australian Open. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
John, thanks. In other tennis news, Wimbledon plans to pay tribute to Britain's Andy Murray with a statue. A tearful Murray said last week he plans to retire because of a hip injury that's kept him sidelined for most of the past 18 months. He said if possible, he'd like to make Wimbledon his last tournament. It begins in early July. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 5:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news, 24 hours a day, at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Newmont Mining will merge with rival Goldcorp in an all-stock deal valued at about $10 billion, accelerating consolidation in the global gold mining industry. Stocks, meanwhile, are dropping in Europe and Asia, with U.S. stock index futures also declining as China trade data showed a worse-than-expected slump, reigniting concerns about global growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 24 points. Dow futures down 221. NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nd, yield 2.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or 80 cents to $50.79 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.30 to $12.94.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1454. The yen, 108.08. And it's a big week for bank earnings ahead. Citigroup will kick things off today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump says he could care less if details from his conversation with Russian leader Vladimir Putin were released. President Trump was responding to a Washington Post report which said he went to great lengths to hide details of his discussions with Putin. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham said he'd like President Trump to reopen the federal government on a temporary basis to see whether a deal can be reached to fund the president's wall on the U.S.-Mexico border. Graham says if we can't at the end of 3 weeks, all bets are off. In the NFL, the Patriots advance to the AFC Championship game to face the Chiefs after beating the Chargers 41-28. The Saints beat the Eagles 20-14 to face the Rams in the NFC title game. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Wizards. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Rangers lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined this morning by Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. On a morning that, Michael, as I look at futures contracts, they're down 1% or more across the board. And Karen mentioned the weaker-than-expected Chinese trade data. I wonder if we're heading into the same wall of worry that investors faced in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I certainly think we could be sliding down that wall of worry. Again, I mean, we have to put this into context, Nathan. We have just come off two successive weekly gains for European equity markets and three successive weekly gains for US markets. So I think a pullback was, if not inevitable, I think was to be expected. But I think those Chinese trade numbers are very disappointing and I think really underscore why Chinese authorities cut reserve requirements earlier this month. A sharp decline in imports of 7.6%, which would appear to suggest that demand is shrinking much quicker than I think a lot of people had been anticipating. Weak exports as well, suggesting that the global economy is slowing down. So I fear that those reserve requirement cuts may not be enough.
All right. So then is concern about global growth what could be driving the decreases in equity markets we're seeing this morning? Is the trade war biting or is it a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two. Obviously, I think in the first three months of the tariffs, we saw a little bit of a bump in imports and exports. And I think in terms of imports, that was largely as a result of stockpiling. That effect is now dying off. We also have to put into context that Chinese trade tends to taper off a little bit at the beginning of the new year as we approach Chinese New Year, which comes February, March. I can't remember the exact timing for it this year. But nonetheless, I think there are concerns. Not only is growth slowing in China, this morning we got a horrible Eurozone industrial production number for November. Now, we were expecting a poor number, Nathan, but we got a number that was even worse than the most pessimistic of expectations. We came in at minus 1.7% month on month, minus 3.3% year on year. Dovetailing into the weak French, Italian and German numbers that we saw last week, it really does beg the question, you know, what's the ECB doing ending its asset purchase program?
So if the numbers coming out of China are weaker than expected, does that put more pressure on China then to cut a deal with the U.S. and can market participants seize an opportunity there?
It does put more pressure on them. I think both sides need a deal because ultimately, despite the resilience of U.S. numbers, I think they could well be as good as it gets as we head into 2019. But the bigger question here is not whether or not this is a China trade, a US trade problem, or whether there are other sands, there are other shifting sands taking place. You look at auto sales in China, you look at luxury sales in China, you look at electronic sales in China. Are all of them to do with the trade war, or are they symptomatic of a more widespread global slowdown as consumers hold back? We've looked at inflationary pressures within China, within the US, within Europe and within the UK, and they are declining.
In the minute or so we have left here, I want to get your take on what's happening in the UK. Theresa May's Brexit deal heading for a crucial vote tomorrow. Has the market priced in the deal falling apart?
To a certain extent, I think they have. I don't think they've priced in the full political dysfunction that could unravel in the event that the deal gets rejected, because ultimately, despite the fact that MPs can agree that they do not like this deal, they don't agree on what could replace it. And let's not forget the default position right now is for the UK to leave the European Union on the 29th of March. It will happen unless MPs coalesce around a variant of customs union, single market, Norway plus, Canada-type trade deal, or no Brexit.
In our last 30 seconds here, that's a tall order, no?
Yeah. It is a huge, it's a huge tall order. As I say, you know, MPs can agree on what they don't like. Unfortunately, yeah, there is no consensus about what they do want, and that is likely to provide a significant barrier. So it's a very tight timetable to come to some form of agreement as we head towards the end of March.
A lot of uncertainty just into this week. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, always good to get your insights on a morning where we are seeing losses ahead of the market open on Wall Street. S&P futures down 26 points now, Dow futures down 238, and NASDAQ futures down 82 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 525 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks are falling to begin the new week after disappointing trade data out of China. We get more on that from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Exports dropped 4.4% from a year earlier, while imports fell 7.6%, both the worst results since 2016. China ended last year on a sluggish note. Factory gauges contracted, producer prices got closer to deflation, and this trade data reignites concerns over global growth. China's surplus with the United States rose more than 17%, and that could endanger the fragile truce between the two sides. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. In the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May makes another attempt to save her Brexit deal. The latest on that from Bloomberg's Tim Ross in London.
Theresa May is facing near certain defeat when she puts her Brexit deal to a vote in Parliament on Tuesday. In a last-ditch attempt to win backing for her plan, she'll warn the most likely result of losing that vote will be that Britain stays in the European Union. May's message is an attempt to persuade Eurosceptic Tories who hate her deal that it's their only hope of delivering Brexit. In London, Tim Ross, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tim, thank you. We're getting weak industrial output data out of Europe. Euro area industrial output fell 1.7% in November, the biggest drop in almost 3 years.
Well, here in the U.S., bank earnings kick off today with Citigroup reporting before the opening bell. Later this week, we hear from Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Morgan Stanley.
Shares of PG&E are tumbling once again as the California utility teeters on the brink of bankruptcy. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. PG&E Chief Executive Officer Geisha Williams announced she is leaving the company. She provided no reason. Investigators have been probing whether the power giant's equipment ignited November's deadly campfire. It may also be liable for blazes that devastated Northern California wine country in 2017. And the utility may notify employees today it will file for bankruptcy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And shares of PG&E are down more than 20% this morning. And in M&A news, Newmont Mining has agreed to buy Goldcorp. It's an all-stock deal valued at $10 billion. S&P futures down 25 points this morning. Dow futures down 224. NASDAQ futures down 81. 10-year Treasury up 10 32nd. Yield 2.66%. Yield on the two-year 2.51%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.9%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. It is day 24 of the partial government shutdown. Senator Lindsey Graham said he'd like President Trump to reopen the federal government on a temporary basis to see whether a deal can be reached to fund the president's wall on the U.S.-Mexico border.
If we can, at the end of 3 weeks, all bets are off, see if he can do it by himself through the emergency powers.
Democratic Senator Chris Coons of Delaware agrees with Graham that the government needs to be reopened, but adds,
one of the challenges of negotiating with President Trump, as Lindsey Graham knows better than anyone else, is I feel like I've signed up for the Trump of the Day Club. I don't know what position we're going to get on a negotiation from day one to day two.
Coons and Graham both spoke on Fox News Sunday, which can be heard here on Bloomberg Radio. Yesterday, a security checkpoint at Houston's main airport closed because of the shutdown, a lack of TSA agents. The top Republican in the House vowed Sunday that action will be taken after Iowa GOP Congressman Steve King's recent comments about white supremacy and white nationalism. King has faced criticism after he told the New York Times that he thought it was wrong. White nationalism and white supremacy were considered offensive. California Republican Representative Kevin McCarthy says that language has no place in America. Republican Senator Ted Cruz agrees with McCarthy.
What Steve King said was stupid. It was stupid, it was hurtful, it was wrong, and he needs to stop it. I think all of us ought to be united, regardless of party, in saying white supremacism, white nationalism is hatred, it is bigotry, it is evil, it is wrong. And I think we need that clarity, and I'm certainly going to urge everyone to provide that clarity.
Cruz made his comments on NBC's Meet the Press, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. A winter storm sweeping in from the Midwest has punished the Mid-Atlantic region for a second day yesterday, knocking out power to thousands with a mix of snow, sleet, ice that canceled flights, toppled trees, and caused hundreds of road accidents. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says that his 2019 executive budget will include a ban on single-use plastic bags. The governor introduced a bill last April that followed a state task force's recommendations to bar retailers from providing the non-biodegradable bags that are increasingly littering neighborhoods and polluting waterways. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the New Orleans Saints off to the NFC Championship game for only the third time in team history. They thought they were going last year, then Minnesota had that miracle last play touchdown. They weren't sure they were going this year when Philadelphia jumped ahead of them 14-0, but Drew Brees and the Saints came back and won 20-14.
If you do things the right way long enough, good things happen, right? And you play this game long enough, you're going to be a part of some crazy stuff. You're going to be on the winning side of some of that crazy stuff, and you're probably going to be on the losing side of some of that crazy stuff. Unfortunately, losing side last year. Fortunately, winning side this year.
Two Saints keyed the victory. Michael Thomas, 12 receptions, 171 yards. And Marshawn Lattimore had two interceptions, one in the first half to begin the comeback, and then another with 2 minutes left in the Eagles driving to reclaim the lead. So no repeat for Philly. Still no teams won back-to-back Super Bowls since the Patriots in 2003 and 4. The Pats are going to an unprecedented eighth consecutive AFC Championship game. And with a win Sunday, they'll be just the third team to play in three straight Super Bowls. New England scored touchdowns on their first three possessions, crushed the Chargers 41-28. The AFC game, New England at Kansas City, that'll be after the NFC game, the Rams at New Orleans. The Knicks have won once in the last month, haven't won at the Garden since December 1st. They erased most of a 24-point deficit, but fell to Philadelphia 108-105, and now they're off to London to play on Thursday. The Rangers have now dropped 6-7, 7-5 loss at Columbus. Rangers were coming off the win over the Islanders, who bounced back, beat Tampa Bay 5-1. That's only the ninth loss of the year by the Lightning. Australian Open's underway. Rafael Nadal won his match. Andy Murray right now is down two sets love. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashel. Nathan?
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on ZTE, the Chinese telecom company that President Trump spared. Also in this week's issue, how the Department of Agriculture is throwing a lifeline to the dairy industry. Bloomberg's Peter Robeson reports it all has to do with a battle between 1% and skim milk.
Skim chocolate milk, not 1%. That 1% versus skim turned out to be a big issue for the dairy industry because skim doesn't taste as good.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report on this Monday morning. We bring in Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Ed?
Morning, Nathan. Blackstone Group has hired a General Atlantic executive to launch a business that will invest in fast-growing companies. It's according to a Wall Street Journal report. John Korngold is an 18-year veteran of General Atlantic. He served on the private equity firm's management committee and led its investments in financial services and healthcare. While there is broad agreement on the idea of legalizing pot for recreational use in New York, there's no consensus on a long list of details that have to be figured out first. They include taxes and regulations. Associated Press reports a new government entity may have to be created. Well, Connecticut's ranked first in the nation for paying the most in federal income taxes and getting the least federal dollars in return. That's the finding of the latest survey from the New York-based Rockefeller Institute of Government. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thank you, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about the departure of PG&E's chief executive.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. FedEx is testing residential delivery of bulky products as e-commerce continues to grow.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about a report Amazon is nearing a deal to lease space in the Chrysler Building.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a deal by struggling apparel chain New Look to restructure its debts.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm highlighting some of the local companies reporting their earnings this week.
I'm Ed Corey. On WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting Ford's CEO says he wasn't pleased about the automaker's performance in 2018.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, investors keep taking money out of Bill Gross's fund. Assets at the Janus Henderson Global Unconstrained Bond Fund have now fallen below $1 billion. That's less than half what they were last February. Gross lost about 4% last year. That was worse than more than 80% of his peers. Futures on Wall Street pointed lower on this Monday morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. If you're looking to defer or eliminate capital gains taxes, the Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits to investors and real estate developers. Visit EisnerAmper.com/QOF.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are dropping in Europe and Asia. U.S. stock index futures also on the decline. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 25 points. Dow futures down 222. NASDAQ futures down 82. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds. Yield 2.66%. Yield on the 2-year 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.8% on 92 cents to $50.67 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% at $5.30 to $12.94.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1463, and the yen, 108.14. And a big week for bank earnings ahead. Citigroup kicking things off today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Congressional lawyers are meeting today to discuss taking an unprecedented step of calling President Trump's interpreters to testify before Congress about the meetings that he had with Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Trump said his conversations with Putin were open and, quote, anyone could have listened to that meeting. It is day 24 of the partial government shutdown. Yesterday, a security checkpoint at Houston's main airport closed as the impact of the shutdown broadened. A TSA checkpoint at Terminal B closed because of staffing issues. In the NFL, the Patriots advanced to the AFC Championship game to face the Chiefs after beating the Chargers 41-28. The Saints beat the Eagles 20-14 to face the Rams in the NFC title game. In the NBA, the Knicks lost along with the Wizards. The Warriors won. NHL action, the Islanders won. The Rangers lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's nearly 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London Bureau. She's Bloomberg Opinion Editor. And Jen is Prime Minister Theresa May gets set for tomorrow's crucial Parliament vote on her Brexit plan. Therese Raphael is digging into the economic data to assess the damage that hammering out the deal's already done.
Yes. I mean, it sounds a little bit confusing because surely we're Brexiting and we'll know what that means. But actually, the UK's legal status hasn't actually changed since the referendum in June 2016. But what has changed is certainty about what the world will look like for the UK after it leaves the EU on March 29th. That uncertainty is what's doing things like putting a lid on business investment. That's really stagnated compared to what the path would have been had there not been a vote to leave the EU. All this negotiation and these questions about what the terms of trade, for example, will be, have really kept businesses back from investing. Also in here is the idea of where the UK ranks relative to other G7 economies in terms of economic growth. Before the referendum, it was one of the top performers, and now 2 years later, it's more towards the bottom.
But what's the broader picture that we should be looking at here?
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's always going to be global economic headwinds and tailwinds that could be taken into account to look at the assessment of how British, for example, GDP is performing relative to the rest of the G7. But what economists can do is create what they would describe as a synthetic UK economy to see how it broadly ought to have performed had there not been a referendum to leave the EU and all the uncertainty that that would create. And what this, if you look at what the synthetic Britain would have, how that would have performed, the economists estimate that growth would have been 2.5 percentage points higher since the vote.
Well, what about immigration? I mean, controlling that is one of the key planks of the argument that Brexiteers have put out there for leaving.
And it's really been a key plank in May's negotiations. Ending free movement of people is something that's really important for her, and even though this is one of the EU's single market's four indivisible freedoms. But net migration in the UK didn't actually decline in the 2 years since the vote. But the trick here is that there's far fewer EU citizens coming to Britain, and that's a really worrying development for the services industry and for the National Health Service, where workers from the bloc are really in demand. So the coming week is really going to be critical for Brexit, and it will determine whether some of this economic damage can be reversed or if it's going to just keep on coming.
All right, let's turn over to this side of the pond. Stephen Gandel's taking a look at the impact of President Trump's tax cut, saying it's proven to be vastly more generous for corporate America. And he's got some pretty remarkable headline numbers to back that up.
So here's the first one, $600 billion. So that's how much more than his initial expectations he estimates companies in the S&P 500 are on pace to save because of the tax cuts. So corporate profits for the S&P 500 companies rose about about 25% in 2018, and that was the biggest jump since late 2010. About half of that came not from improvement in operations, but from lower corporate tax bills.
And Gandel also says the tax cut's proving to be a lot more expensive for taxpayers.
And it's the same number again, $600 billion. That's how much more the tax is likely to add to the national debt if it runs as planned for 10 years. Just to remind you, the change reduced the U.S. corporate rate to a flat 21% from a previous marginal rate that topped out at 35%. The initial estimate from the Joint Committee on Taxation was that it would cost $1.4 trillion over 10 years. And now that's looking more to be like $2 trillion, according to Gandel.
But a big question about this tax law, the big selling point for supporters of it was that it would provide an economic boost, has it?
Well, if you look at how corporate earnings have developed and think about what was projected, the S&P 500 really should be higher than it is. And Gandel says at least some portion of this can be down to what he calls the Trump discount, the amount that Donald Trump's actions from his trade war with China to his eagerness to shut down the government have hurt the value of the market and the investment accounts of many Americans. So sure, the tax cuts provided a short-term boost, but given how large the Trump discount has swelled, it looks like it's swamping the benefit from the tax cuts, and it's getting harder and harder for investors to notice.
Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always. Read more about this on Bloomberg.com/opinion on the Bloomberg terminal. Type OPIN. Go. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The federal court system is due to run out of money for normal operations on Friday, January 18th. This is part of the partial government shutdown over President Trump's desired border wall. The Trademark Trial and Appeal Board says Walmart's use of investing in American jobs doesn't qualify for trademark protection because it didn't distinguish a product from others based on origin. And the National Park Service's official charity has started raising money from the public to bolster federal cleanup efforts once the partial government shutdown ends.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, has agreed to testify before Congress next month. It's a move with the potential to provide explosive public testimony on the inner workings of the president's business, personal life, and political campaign. For more on this development, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Ellie Honig.
I don't know if Michael Cohen, he clearly wants to become this generation's John Dean, and I'm not sure if he's up to it. I'm not sure if his testimony is capable of uniting the country. In fact, I think what we could see is people driven further apart based on where they already stand. People who believe Trump has committed criminal acts or acts deserving impeachment are going to want to hear everything Michael Cohen says and are going to want to credit him. And people who do not believe that are going to say he's a liar and he has bad motives. Looking at it from a prosecutor's point of view, the proof in the pudding really is going to be, to what extent is he corroborated? To what extent is there other evidence that backs him up? And I think ultimately Mueller and the Southern District of New York are going to have those answers.
John Dean had the Watergate tapes that were released later. Also, is there a problem in that Cohen is a convicted liar already? So does that put a sort of a damper on his testimony?
Sure, and that's what the defenders of Trump will no doubt point out. They'll say he's a liar. He's an admitted liar. He's been convicted of 9 different federal crimes now. And this is the kind of dilemma that you work with all the time as a federal prosecutor. A huge number of federal trials, I think more than people typically realize, come down to the testimony of cooperating witnesses, people who used to commit crimes with the people they're testifying against now, and have struck a deal trying to get a lower sentence. And cases in federal court often turn on them. And what a good prosecutor would do is explain to the jury, look, first of all, this person's a cooperating witness for a reason. If they weren't involved in crimes before, they wouldn't be here. And second of all, we, the prosecutor, did not choose this person. The person who's on trial chose him when they were committing crimes together. And third, it doesn't matter if you like this person. Maybe you don't. Maybe you shouldn't. The question really, though, is do you believe him? And ultimately, I don't think Michael Cohen's testimony in February is going to change a lot of minds from where they stand now. But we will learn a lot of new information, and ultimately we'll be able to measure up if whether what he says sort of comports with common sense and with the other evidence that we know.
That's former federal prosecutor Ellie Honig speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are lower, down about 25 points this morning. Dow futures down 110 and NASDAQ futures down about 82. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 2.66%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.